This week, a Calgary mother was sent a hefty bill by the state of Oregon, and it added expensive insult to serious injury. 2 years ago, the woman's son was visiting his stepfather in Oregon. The boy was picked up by the police for riding a bike without wearing a helmet. That minor infraction was the start of a bizarre series of events that kept him separated from his family in Canada until last month. And now, after battling all that time to get her son back, his mother is scheduled to appear in court. The state of Oregon has sued her for the cost of keeping her son in foster care while she fought for his return. Tony Merchant is the Canadian lawyer representing the Calgary mother. We reached him in Regina.
Mr. Merchant, what's your reaction to the lawsuit that's been filed by the state of Oregon?
It's shocking. It's as though somebody arrived from Mars and made up a strange fact pattern. To call it bizarre is to understate.
Why do you think it's bizarre?
I've never heard of any jurisdiction doing what they are doing, and I certainly could not imagine a jurisdiction would do this when any fair thinking about this would say that the state of Oregon was in the wrong.
What do the court documents actually say? Why does Oregon think the mother should reimburse the state?
Usually jurisdictions have the right to this recovery. It's just that they never exercise the right. She does not yet know what their demands will be, but if you add up the probability of their demands, first it would be for clothing, room and board, the money they've paid to the foster parents. They will secondly, very likely, pursue collection for any medical costs, which Canadians don't think about because it's paid here. They also gave the child psychological counseling. I don't think he needed it, but there was a big cost there. And when you attend school, it's not paid for by the state unless you're entitled to be there, and somebody from some other country isn't entitled to be there. So the cost in total would be huge, and they, one would assume, will be after her for the total amount of money if they continue with this strange direction.
The boy was first taken by Oregon police because he wasn't wearing a helmet, but was there any other evidence that his mother was an unfit parent?
When I got there for the trial, I was surprised. My expectation was that what I had been told wouldn't come together. Usually people say nothing was wrong and you arrive and the other side of the case is very strong. To the contrary, that was all it was. The boy had been on a road without a helmet. The cross-examination was to the effect of, didn't you know that was a busy street?
But wasn't it also the case that they didn't recognize the boy's stepfather as a guardian or a parent, and that was part of the problem? He was visiting his stepfather.
They took the boy into seizure first because he was on a busy street without a bicycle helmet. Then the second, I would say, stupidity was to say that the stepfather, really the only father he's ever known, but the stepfather wasn't his parent, and therefore they could keep him. And then the third stupidity was that although he is bright, very capable in school, successful, A student in Canada, continued to be an A student in Oregon, they then didn't recognize that he had some attention deficit disorder issues, and I think that made them suspicious.
So it took 2 years to get him back. Why did it take that long?
Every time something ought to have happened where he should have been returned, they would come up with some other excuse. I'll give you an example that is the worst of bureaucratic fumbling. They contacted the grandparents and they said, are you prepared to be of assistance? They said, yes, of course, we've always been of assistance. Our daughter is fine. Then about 4 months later, they asked the grandparents if they'd sign in writing that they would do this and that they'd be of assistance. They said yes. And then about 4 or 5 months after that, the grandparents got contacted by a private detective, essentially, who was searching for family members as though these family members didn't exist. And the grandparents said, what are you talking about? We've already signed a paper. It's in Oregon. Oh, they said, we didn't know about that. And I think that in Oregon, because the boy was doing so well, they didn't give any attention to he ought to be returned to his country and he ought to be with his ordinary family.
You say he was doing so well. How is he doing now that he's back in Canada?
Well, he hasn't been back in school. He's very happy to be back.
And the mother now has to go to court to answer for this lawsuit?
She has to go to court on the suggestion that she should pay for the money that they spent over the last 2 years.
She also would presumably have a remedy of sorts if she goes ahead and just goes and sues the state of Oregon.
There certainly has been consideration by her and the family of taking action against the state of Oregon, and they may decide to do that. They have to do that in the American authorities and or in the American jurisdiction. And there's some thought that taking this highly unusual step, this is a sort of preemptive strike by the state of Oregon to use a sword, because that in some ways can be better than a shield.
Is there a role for the government, either the Albertan or Canadian governments, to take in this?
I don't think so, because governments don't overreact. If they do, they damage international relationships. The government of Alberta acted commendably. They said to Oregon, we'll keep a close eye on this situation, which gave Oregon comfort to send the boy back. Of course, as soon as he was back, the province knew that there was no involvement and they haven't taken any involvement.
Mr. Merchant, thank you.
Good to be with you.
Bye-bye.
Tony Merchant is the Canadian lawyer representing the Calgary mother whose son was taken into foster care by the state of Oregon. The state is now demanding compensation for the cost of that foster care. We reached him in Regina.